Good morning, Dahl, and happy to have you in the house of the Lord this morning and to worship and praise God. Today, we celebrate a day called Mother's Day. It's a national holiday and feel like mothers are well worth our effort for what they do for us. We are all blessed with a mother. And some are with us today, and some are not with us today. Some of the suffering that you see mothers have to go through, you wonder why they are dealt that situation. But this is a day that we all have an opportunity to remember our mother and what she means to us, or what she meant to us in our past life and how she looked after us. As I stand before you this morning, I'd be the first to tell you I did not give my mother the love she was deserving of, because when I was young, it was all about me. I loved my mother and I would do anything for her, but I did not show my mother the love that she deserved. What a shame when a mother does not get the love she deserves for the love she has shown towards each of us. You think about a mother, she would do anything for her child, for her family. I thought about Nora Lee Engel when my mother passed away. She gave me 6 tulips, bulbs. Told me, you plant these bulbs, Bob, and every year when they come up, you think of your mother and remember her. What a thing to do. And each time them tulips come up, bright yellow every spring, and I remember my mother. I just always could never forget that. You know how nice that was of Nora Lee to present a way that I could remember my mother. Again, she always wants the best for her children. I read a story in a magazine a week or 10 days ago about this mother had become elderly and she had grandchildren, and she told her grandchildren to go out and get some weed seed. And she had her husband build her a greenhouse in their backyard because she just loved flowers and she loved working with nature. So these two children go out and they gather weed seeds and they bring them back to their grandmother. And they're going to bring them in the greenhouse. She says, oh no, them stay outside. When you come in here, you see nothing but beauty in here, but we need to see those weed seeds grow and what they look like compared to our beautiful flowers. I just thought that was such a nice story. I can remember very few times that my mother ever complained. And most mothers do not complain. Kind of disappointed with our country. It's so much different than when I was growing up. I got a couple articles here I'd like to read. And the first one is the one that's really discouraging to me. It says, Jessica Honecker will be deploying to Afghanistan on Sunday and will spend a year away from her husband and children. A year away from her children and husband. The reason I'm disappointed in this was I remember my dad going in the service. And we had a military back in the days I was growing up. We don't have a military now. We have more National Guard. We do have some military. We have to, but not like it was. You would never take a mother or a father away from their family unless it was truly a wartime. And it just, my dad was drafted way back then when you had a draft card, and he was drafted, almost just got overseas, and they shipped him back home because the war was over and he had three children. That was my dad. This lady, they're taken away from four of her children. To me, it's just really sad, but I'd like to read this article about Reflect on Mother's Day. Sunday is Mother's Day. Not being a mother and now motherless, I tend to let it go by with only a few reflective moments. However, this special day gives cause to reflect on childhood and how our lives as adults are molded from what we experienced as a child. I can see my everyday actions and behaviors influenced by my child I was yesterday. From my mom, I got my sense of humor. I learned about compassion. I loved animals, love of animals, tolerance, trust, relationships, life skills, taking me to the adulthood and success, and to the successful person I can be. We may change or modify our learned behavior through maturity, but we basically are always our parents' children. As said by an unknown author, the apple does not fall far from the tree. How often do we see or hear a sibling or ourselves say something that is like our parents, especially our mothers, speaking to us? This is both good and bad, as we often emulate bad as well as good influences. My mother was left a widow with seven children to raise, had to work hard, grew to adulthood, and she had many grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Like most families, we are a bit dysfunctional. But how many families are like the Waltons? I miss my mom every day and would like to call her just to chat with her about the love that she gave me. Can you imagine that lady having to raise that many children? And then the complete opposite of this lady getting deployed to a foreign country away from her children? I remember when I was in England, it's kind of a sidetrack, but my sister always wanted me to send pictures because I spent 3 years in England. We got $44 every other week. That was our pay, $22 a week. Of course, they furnished you medicine, clothes, food, everything you needed. But I kept telling her I don't have any money to spend on film or camera. So she sent me a camera with film. Said, now take some pictures, you know, for us. So that's what I had to do. But getting back to mothers. Again, society is different today. And this article just caught my eye because this lady asked the question, where are all the kids? Mothers love kids. I'm telling you, every time Malachi comes over to our house or we go there, none of the girls can get enough of Malachi. He's just the greatest thing that ever happened. And isn't that a mother's instinct to love children? There's a newborn baby in the congregation. All the ladies have to hold that baby. And me, I don't want to hold that baby because I might drop that baby. And I'd really feel bad, but that's the ladies' touch, and the ladies love to do that. But this lady asked the question, where are the kids? As they stroll around my neighborhood in the late afternoon, I'm often puzzled by the lack of neighborhood chatter. Where are all the kids gone, and why aren't they outside doing what kids do? I sometimes walk with my dog, Mickey, and it is stunningly quiet. This quietness that I feel as if I have been dropped into an ozone of the twilight zone. No idle conversation, no kids on bicycles, no hide and seek, tag, kickball, street games. I know times were simpler when I was growing up in the 50s, but I would not trade my childhood for those of today, where everyone on some kind of electronic device, social media, or a computer. Kids need to be outside. They learn about nature. They learn how to play with whoever is available, and they learn about living a carefree life with few responsibilities. Outside, you can find a treasure of activities. The pile of dirt quickly becomes a place to dig, hide, or explore things. The tree climb is a hiding place or a secret place that you can go and get away. Maybe grab a blanket, some books, head out under the shade tree with let your imagination go wild. The big outdoors awaits those who are willing to put down their cell phones, games, their electronics, and head outside. Make memories instead of calls and embrace the simplicity of life and disconnect from electronic gadgets. Some of my favorite memories are learning to ride a bike on my neighbor's bicycle. Me and my three sisters got a bicycle give to us from our uncle. That was the only bicycle I ever remember having. But we didn't care. She remembers riding the neighbor's bicycle, making mud pies with dandelions running and running like the wind to Everback Base. Just being a kid with no worries. It was magical, and I would hate to think today's kids are running on empty when it comes to the great outdoors. Can you remember some of them days? They were great. I think now when I go to a ball game, the catcher don't even go back to the backstop and pick the ball up. They put another ball in play and somebody else go gets that ball. We was lucky if we could find a ball to play with. You know, it's just... But getting back to Mother's Day, it's easy to get sidetracked. I don't remember very many times my mother ever complained, and if she did, she usually had every right to do so. As we live today, we prepare for tomorrow. And that's the main goal in life, and our mothers are there to guide us. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "Today I am who I am because of God's grace, and then I have made sure that the grace He offered me has not been wasted." A mature Christian preaches with his or her life, just like our mothers have did to us in the past, for us in the past. Many times we try to talk people into accepting Jesus, but yet we fail to show them Jesus. And we don't act any differently than the rest of the world, even though we claim to be saved. The world isn't looking for talk. They're looking to see if we are doing what we say we are, or walking the walk, as they would say. Therefore, we as Christians must live differently and stop telling and start showing. Matthew 7:20 says, "Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." This verse tells us how to recognize a mature Christian. By their fruit, what they're doing, what they practice. Stop worrying about the outward show that you put on in front of your friends and stop and start developing the fruit of the Spirit. That's the most important thing. Develop the fruit of the Spirit in your inner life. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Then once we have learned how to be kind and gentle and peaceful, it becomes easier, doesn't it? And it becomes easier for them people around us to see that we practice what we represent. Most people around us know if they want to be like us or they want to be opposite of us. And it's sad when you hear the talk get back to you like, well, I don't want to be like so-and-so. We need to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Notice the first mention there in Galatians. The first fruit that's mentioned is love. And I have to think about that as I think about our mothers and how they love us. My dad was a correcting dad. He believed in beating you. And I mean, when he whipped you, he whipped you. And I was more scared of my dad than anybody. But my mother was gentle and kind and caring, and the only thing I didn't want to hear her say was, wait till your dad gets home, because she has turned that over to him. Isn't that what Christian life is about? Like living a life of love that makes the world want to be like you and want to be like those Christians that they associate with. The world isn't reading the Bible. They're reading you and me. They see what we do every day. And they know right away whether they want to be like you or me. And we need to be like Jesus. We need to be like what He asks us to do and what He asks us to say and how we expose ourselves to other people. May is a beautiful month. The cold and the snow is usually gone by now, and it's gone away. The trees and flowers are blooming. Again, I have no use for blooming flowers until I get older in life and see them bloom and how pretty they are and how God has created those flowers. And you can't help but think of the other things in your life you love, such as your mother. But God's beauty is evident everywhere you look. You can be like that too. You can be just like the beauty of nature. With the Lord's strength, you can push up just like the flowers do from the dark ground. And every year I look at my lawn and it's dark brown, and in springtime it always comes back green. It just amazes me. When we think about the way we live, though, the level of our living depends on how much we give to life. Conventional wisdom says that our life will be better if we just keep everything we have to ourselves and go about life. However, God clearly says that your life will be better if you work to make another person's life better. How many times have you did that and see the joy and happiness in that individual? It's unbelievable. Galatians 6:7-9, Paul writes, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap our harvest and our reward if we do not give up." The amount of love and patience you show towards others will come back several times over, really. There are so many kind and giving and caring people in the congregation, and sometimes you just can't give back to them people enough for what they do. And I love those kind of people, don't you? The principle of giving, though, and receiving applies in many different areas of our life. For example, if you invest an hour a day into exercising, then you'll reap the benefits of that investment, a strong, healthy body. However, if you invest the same time into flipping channels on the TV, you'll reap the benefits of that investment, a wasted hour. Paul isn't just talking about money or time. He is focusing on giving into the lives of others. Galatians 6 and 10, Paul instructs, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. If you do good others by giving into their lives, then you will benefit." I don't know how many of you have seen the commercial of this little old lady, and she's watching the little girl play outside and her dad, and they go by several days in a row, and then finally the little girl comes to the door and knocks and gives the lady a sack full of groceries. And this lady is just kind of beside herself. It's so neat to see that. And to me, like, this lady probably given her life, and this was a return for those benefits. Therefore, we must decide to give freely to others, just like our mothers give freely to us and to all those around us. Then we can watch the benefits of that giving be an effect in our life. Remember that our level of living depends on our level of giving. That's exactly what Jesus was getting at in Matthew 28:18-20 when he said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The Greek word here for nations means a multitude of people. Go to a multitude of people. And you don't have to preach to them people. They can see you preaching by the life you're living. They can tell if you're happy or you're sad, and they can tell if they want to be like you or not like you. I'd ask the question, have any of us ever seen very many mothers who we would not want to be totally like? Loving, kind, caring, giving, on and on and on it goes. But we need to make disciples of all the people around us. Even in the Old Testament, God was trying to get his people to spread his name, his glory, and his fame among the people of the earth. Psalms 96, 1-3, the psalmist writes, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among nations. His marvelous deeds among all people." God tells us to share his story with people. That story was shared with me before I accepted Christ into my life. And I'm glad it was. I'm glad I had people around me that wanted to demonstrate what a true Christian was like. And I knew I wanted to be like them. God calls us to share his story with people. The this call requires us to be in the world in order that we have the opportunities to witness. That's why the church, as we know it today, is a sending place of Christians. Because you come to church, because you study the truth, because you worship with those of like precious faith, because we worship the Bible for what it is and try to stick by the Bible and what it asks us to do, we are a sending place. People see us come and go. And I think how many times your neighbor sees you go out that door every Sunday morning, possibly every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, and they know exactly where you're going. Again, 1 Corinthians 15 and 10. Today I am who I am because of God's grace. And I have made sure that the grace He offered me has not been wasted. As we live today, we prepare for tomorrow. As we think of our mothers, that's a perfect example for us to think about as we try to decide how we want to live our life. Those mothers around us are also demonstrating their love towards us as well as our own mothers. This morning, if you have not been baptized and wish to accept Jesus Christ into your life, accept the truth, confess His name, and be baptized. We offer you that opportunity as we stand and sing the closing hymn.